It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The ACLU is calling on 8 cities and towns around Wisconsin to repeal their anti-panhandling laws after a 2015 Supreme Court decision ruled that they were unconstitutional. The organization sent letters to the leaders of Altoona, Glendale, Macon, Racine, Superior, Shorewood, Waukesha, and Wauwatosa. 25 local panhandling ordinances have been ruled unconstitutional since the Supreme Court ruled in Reed versus the town of Gilbert. And according to the ACLU, 31 municipalities have voluntarily rescinded their anti-panhandling laws. Our guests for this half hour are the people who sent those letters. Chris Ott is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Carrie.
We're also talking to Karen Rotker, a senior staff attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. Karen, welcome yourself.
Good morning.
So, Chris, these letters seek to repeal panhandling ordinances around Wisconsin. This is not just a state thing. This is part of a national campaign. Tell me about this.
Right. This is something that's been playing out across the country, as well as here in Wisconsin. And it's not just a big city issue either. Incidentally, we can talk a little bit more about that. But the bottom line for us and for the other, for other people who have been looking into this issue is that people who ask for donations for themselves deserve the same protections under the First Amendment as someone asking others to donate to a charity, for example.
How many states are you involved in talking to cities and towns about their panhandling laws?
Karen, do you happen to know that? I don't know the number.
So there are at least, this is part of a sort of national campaign. It's also, if folks are interested, it's housingnothandcuffs.org. But there are about a dozen states participating in this particular campaign. We know the problem of these panhandling ordinances is even broader than that, but about that many folks, and I think it's maybe 50 cities, maybe more, came together to, make this point in a collective way on a specific day that the criminalization of poverty in this way and the criminalization of poor people is not the way to resolve these situations.
So what did the Supreme Court actually decide on these bans, Karen?
So Reed versus Gilbert actually involved certain kinds of signage speech, but it found that if a municipality or a community regulates the content of speech, says you can't talk about a particular topic, that is itself a kind of discrimination and unconstitutional under the First Amendment. Right after that, there was a case from the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals against the city of Springfield, Illinois, that confirmed that applied to panhandling ordinances. And what it said is you can't target speech because you don't like the topic discussed or the message expressed. So I think it's easier if I give you an example. If two people were walking down the street and someone said, I want to raise money for a charity. Can you give me $500 or $1,000 to feed the homeless?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been permissible under any of these, quote, anti-panhandling ordinances, unquote. But if a person sat on the street and said, can you give me $2 to feed myself, that would have been a criminal violation or at least a municipal violation. And what the City of Springfield case and all the other cases have held is that is a form of discrimination under the First Amendment that you cannot have. And I think when I lay it out that way, it makes clear why that's discriminating against certain kinds of speakers.
That does make sense. We're talking about a call by the ACLU for cities and towns to repeal anti-panhandling laws, which Karen Rotker just explained are unconstitutional and were ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in 2015. Do you support ordinances restricting or banning panhandling? What do you think they infringe on people's rights? What do you think we should do to help homeless populations? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Karen, I'm going to follow this with you a little bit here. There have been, is it unanimous? Are the courts unanimous on this, that these laws are discriminatory? And what is the limit of discrimination? If somebody is playing guitar, and I have seen homeless people out there playing guitar and asking for money, is that also covered by these ordinances?
So the ones we've seen, I haven't seen litigation under that specific, you know, under the issue of playing music. The litigation that's come after 2015, after the Reed case, and the full Seventh Circuit case, by the way, is Norton versus City of Springfield. Anyway, all of those have addressed various kinds of anti-panhandling ordinances. Some said you could be ticketed just for asking. Some said if it was aggressive behavior, usually very vaguely defined, you could be ticketed for that. Some said if it was in certain locations, and some you could be ticketed for that. All of those are the kinds of things still on the books in Wisconsin. And everywhere in the country that those have been challenged in federal court since 2015, they've been found unconstitutional. So we that's kind of the issue we're looking at. I think playing guitar, especially if someone had a donation box or something like that, probably would be difficult to, I mean, would probably constitute a form of speech, but we haven't gotten to the point of addressing that issue because, frankly, the ones on the books that we're seeing are just flatly banning panhandling or banning it, flatly banning it in specific circumstances.
Interesting. We are talking about panhandling and the unconstitutionality of laws that ban it. Chris, the ACLU of Wisconsin sent letters to 8 municipalities. Have you heard back from them?
Well, we just sent the letters on Tuesday, I believe it was.
So oh, okay.
I don't think we've gotten a response yet.
And so talk to me about the reasons that anti-panhandling laws don't work. I mean, you know, we know legally, but in terms of like humanity, in terms of fixing the problem, why don't these laws work?
Well, I'm glad that I wanted to talk about the humanity involved in this. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind for me is that the First Amendment doesn't guarantee that people won't ever hear speech that they don't want to or that makes them uncomfortable. And if panhandling makes some people uncomfortable, it's not for us to say how people should respond to that. But some people do take this as a call to do things that reduce or eliminate conditions that make people poor in the first place. So I think that needs to be a part of this discussion.
And what can we do to eliminate? I mean, what you're saying is that we just want to eliminate seeing the problem. Some people just want to eliminate seeing the problem, not fixing the problem. But what can we do to fix the problem?
Well, the campaign that Karen mentioned earlier, Housing Not Handcuffs, has good ideas, and I'm sure there are other organizations that have worthy ideas as well. You know, we're not saying that we have all the answers, but we are saying that it's wrong to try to criminalize poverty.
Well, and it's also, you know, to ensure the focus of the campaign is also saying we need to try and find more ways to provide affordable, safe, and decent housing for people who need it and ensure people, you know, have services and the ability to eat and so on, so that they're not put in this situation where they have no choice. And I really liked your framing, by the way, of saying some people just don't want to see the problem rather than trying to fix it, because I think that's exactly right. And we want the discussions to involve trying to fix the underlying issues that cause people to end up panhandling.
Okay, so we're going to explore those underlying issues a little more in a moment. We are talking about the constitutionality, or lack thereof, of anti-panhandling laws and what cities and towns can do to address their homeless populations. We're talking with Chris Ott and Karen Rotker, both of the ACLU of Wisconsin. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Thank you. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The Supreme Court ruled in 2015 that it was an infringement of free speech to ban panhandling. The ACLU is launching a state-by-state effort to get rid of panhandling laws in cities and towns. The organization has sent letters to 8 towns in Wisconsin apprising them of the Supreme Court ruling and asking them to take their panhandling laws off the books. Have you ever had to panhandle to get the money you needed? What was the experience like? How did people you asked for money treat you? Did you interact at all with law enforcement? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking to Chris Ott and Karen Rotker, both from the ACLU of Wisconsin, which sent those letters. Karen, we ended the last segment talking about fixing the problem, not just trying to paper over the problem. What do cities and towns and states and I guess the federal government need to do that we're not doing now to help people from becoming homeless?
So, again, this is, you know, I want to be clear that we're not like the sort of housing policy experts, but we have a lot of thoughts. And, of course, there are a lot of smart people out there working on this issue. But first of all, by stopping criminalizing homelessness and criminalizing poor people, which if you think about it, it's kind of silly. You're going to ticket people and make them pay fines for panhandling. These are not people who are going to afford to pay fines. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. But also to make it harder to evict people without good cause, to increase services, to increase the supply of affordable housing. And there are a long list on this Housing Not Handcuffs webpage of different ways that that could be done, from using surplus property to build affordable housing, to different kinds of zoning rules, to again to providing counsel for people in eviction proceedings. And there's a much longer list than that.
So,
but I think that the focus is we need to attack the underlying problems that are causing people to be poor and homeless, not attack the poor and homeless people.
We are talking about homelessness and panhandling, and we're taking your calls. Jeremy from Racine, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two concerns. One, I don't want to see these people being criminalized and put in jail or things like that. Definitely in agreement with trying to fix the homeless thing. But there's two concerns I have. If you've ever dealt with panhandling on a large scale, like in Chicago, the folks will walk in between the vehicles at interstate, off-ramps, on-ramps, heavily congested areas where it becomes a danger because they're walking in between the vehicles on the road itself with the cops and going car to car. So there's a safety aspect that has to be addressed with it. And from another aspect of a small business owner who opens up a new business along a strip mall with a high level of people patroning their stores, if you get a large amount of panhandlers in front of your store constantly, it's going to deter customers from going to your store because they don't want to deal with that. So how do you address those issues as well?
Good question, Jeremy. I can also attest that that at intersections, people will walk between the cars asking for money, and I've often wondered for their safety. So how do we regulate that, Chris?
Well, you know, one thing that this reminds me of is that people often also ask the question about what do we do with people who are threatening or aggressive when they're asking for money. And I think the answer to this and to the traffic question that Jeremy asked is that we already have laws against things like disorderly conduct. I suspect that that is the case for traffic traffic laws, too. And we just can't impose additional penalties just for people who panhandle.
And Karen, what do you say about people who say, look, people are in front of my business and they're deterring my customers from coming in? What do you say to that?
So, again, I think if people are genuinely, like, assaulting customers or violating, you know, as Chris said, engaging in disorderly conduct or public intoxication or things like that, there are already laws on the books, irrespective of whether people are asking for money or whatever else they're doing that could be used. You don't need additional panhandling-related penalties. And that goes for traffic ordinances, too. You can say that people shouldn't be walking among cars on the streets, on highways, or something like that, regardless of whether they're asking for money or not. In terms of the business, unfortunately or fortunately, part of free speech is people do have the right to speak even things that other people might not want to hear. And again, if there is some other law they're violating, that's one thing, but you can't say we're just going to go after these specific people who are asking people for money, because that is targeting those specific people based on their speech.
Chris, one of the things you said when we first started talking is this doesn't just happen in big cities. Talk to me about that. Most of the towns that you sent letters to are smaller or mid-sized towns.
Well, right. And the research behind this campaign shows that the some of these ordinances against panhandlers and, of course, the problem of homelessness itself is not unique to bigger cities. This occurs around the state, here in Wisconsin, in big cities and suburbs and in smaller communities. So that is what lies behind this list of eight communities that we sent our letters to the other day.
And how big are the homeless populations in kind of smaller towns? I mean, when I think of homeless, and when lots of people think of homeless, we think of Chicago. We think of Milwaukee. We think of Madison. I see them here in Madison all the time, actually, and worry about them because it's going to get cold pretty soon. And I want to do a story on that. But how big are the populations there, and what can the towns do to help them?
So one of the things that we did along with this campaign was send open records letters to try and find not specifically the homeless populations, but how many of these panhandling tickets are being issued. So that will help us get a handle on that. If those communities have ordinances on their books, then presumably they see a problem somehow, or maybe they're trying to prevent something they think might be happening, but we tried to get a sampling of ordinances from different kinds of communities to actually try and get at the size and scope of this problem. So hopefully we'll have some more answers in the near future, but we just sent the records requests along with our letters on Tuesday.
Got it. So good. We're on top of this. 800-642-1234 is the number to call if you want to be part of this discussion. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Have you ever been deterred from going into a business because there is a panhandler out there? Are you somebody who has decided to carry cash and give yourself a budget every week to give to various people that you see on the street that are asking for money? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Mary Kay from Kenosha, welcome to the program.
Good morning. First of all, people shouldn't have to panhandle. They should have access to flyers that tell them where the nearest homeless shelter or food pantry is. There should be a Cars for Poor People program in each city so people can get to work. We should start building more houses because some of these apartments are overpriced and they're falling apart. We need to start building more houses that are affordable. And we should be hiring more Americans. I see that we're not hiring as many as us is we need to be hiring.
Thank you for that, Mary Kay. Karen, do you want to respond to that?
Again, I think there are, you know, lots of people out there seeking solutions. I don't want to get into a whole discussion about who should be hired or those kinds of issues.
Right,
I don't think this is that program. But I do think the ideas of giving people information about where to get food, about building more affordable housing, all those things, those are great, and those are the kinds of things I think Housing Not Handcuffs is talking about.
So, Chris, you're sending letters to these towns, but it seems to me that your aim is state policy. What would you like to see change on a state policy issue?
Well, there again, I guess I would defer to the real experts on this. But you know, our main focus, at least with this effort with the letters, is that we would like to see these unconstitutional ordinances taken off the books.
And those ordinances are generally local or municipal ordinances. There aren't really, as far as we know, state anti-panhandling ordinances. But the state could play a big role in housing and poverty policy solutions if it chose to do so.
We are talking about anti-panhandling ordinances. We have one more phone call. Jeff from Appleton, welcome to the program.
Hi there. There's a lot of things getting blurred here. Panhandling laws, it's not a war against poverty. It's documentation of people that are out panhandling, taking money from others, begging, and then going into the next parking lot and getting in their vehicle and driving home. It's well documented. I see the pictures a lot.
Karen, is that myth or is that true?
Our experience is that most of the people who are panhandling, seeking money, certainly most of the people who've been ticketed for it in certain communities are in fact poor. And regardless, the constitutional issue, the First Amendment issue, it says you can't ban panhandling.
So even if I have a really nice home and I drive a Mercedes, I can go to State Street right now and ask people for money.
Absolutely.
We have been talking about the unconstitutionality of panhandling laws. The ACLU just sent letters to 8 municipalities in Wisconsin. Chris Ott and Karen Rotker from the ACLU of Wisconsin, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.